The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we continue our soap opera with a little bit of a twist. Names are important. I don't know whether you noticed that or not, but names change in the Old Testament, here and there. Abram becomes Abraham after he obeys the call of God and begins to grow his children. Jacob, who is out in a forest clearing, sees this dream, and his name becomes Israel after he wrestles with God at the ford of the Jabbok. All these name changes are important because they become the individual's real name. Now, the question arises, what is God's real name? And why is that important? Moses is out on the hillside tending his father-in-law's sheep, and he sees a bush that's burning, only it really isn't burning. It's got a flame to it, but the bush is not being consumed. God is gently tapping him on the shoulder. You know, he does that with all of us. At one point or another in our lives, we feel that incessant. Sometimes it becomes even more incessant and he uses a two before instead, just to get our attention. Well, he got Moses' attention, and Moses comes, and God calls him out of the burning bush and says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. Now, that's a phrase that we've heard time after time during our soap opera. Abraham says, here I am. When God calls, Abraham says, here I am, when he's asked to sacrifice his only son. Everybody, when they say, here I am, means, I'm ready to listen. What do you have in store for me? I'm ready to go and take care of it. Except Moses. Moses hears God's call and says, here I am, but when Moses hears what God has in mind, that is, that he's going back to Egypt, where he's wanted for killing a man, he's to bring his people, even though they have said, who made you the ruler over us? God is sending Moses back into that whole mix, and Moses is not ready to go. His here I am is very limited. Surely, God, you want to send somebody else. You don't want to send me. But God is not deterred. He says, go down there, and you tell them that the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob has sent you to set them free. And Moses is still not ready to do this. And so he says, but if I go back there and say this, they'll ask me who sent me. Now, Moses is asking God for God's name, his real name, the name in which things could be conjured, if you will, the name which brings immediate results. And God gives him back what Moses said, I am. Tell them I am sent you. That'll do. That's not quite what Moses had in mind. And we'll find out later that Moses is not yet willing to go. But the name I am, the name Yahweh, which later on in Jewish history becomes unpronounceable. Instead of using that name, they use Adonai, beloved. That name becomes so sacred that it is not to be said. But here, God hands it out and says, this will be my name forever. And it is. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers ask Jesus, or tell Jesus, we are seeking Jesus of Nazareth, he responds with that very statement, I am. Not I am he. He is not there in Greek, just I am. The one you are seeking is God. I am. Jesus reminds his disciples that that's what they're really there for, to be the messengers of God, to be the disciples of the living God. And he reminds them that there might be some expense to that, that it might cost them more than they think it will. He says, if you want to be followers of mine, then you have to do some things. You have to take up your cross. You have to leave yourself behind and follow me. You have to leave all those selfish thoughts that govern our lives behind us and follow Jesus. That's not easy to do. That's why sometimes God uses a two-before. Paul points out a way in which that can be done. You see, selfishly, we want our way. We want to be better than we really are, or at least seen to be better than we really are. We want, when our enemies give us trouble, to give them trouble in return. We do not want to be gentle and kind. And yet, Jesus calls us to leave self behind. And Paul encourages us to outdo one another, to have a contest, to see which of us can do more good than the other. Which of us can feed the needy more than others? Which of us can reach out and love our enemies more than the other person in the pew? Which of us can open our arms wider to welcome people into the fellowship of Christ's church? Which of us can be the better person? That's the contest to which God has invited each and every one of us to leave self behind and to do the very best we can for everyone we meet. So, who's it going to be? Don't look around at everybody else. Look rather inside yourself, because that is where you will leave self behind and become the very best that you can be in Christ Jesus. Amen.